Well, shit. I was gonna walk around and do a show because I can't sleep and I think I'm just getting stir crazy from being in the house, but it's kind of rainy out. With my old camera, I wouldn't have given two shits because it was an old piece of junk, but it broke. So now I'm using the fancy pants recorder I borrowed from Keith and Hemda, and I can't get this shit wet. It doesn't even belong to me. Maybe I'll try anyway and just, like, duck under some awnings when I want to talk. It's like, it's not even raining, but I mean, it's like, there's mist in the air. It's not good for electronics. My eBay thing didn't go as well as I thought it would with the, I was going on about how you can get cameras for free now. The bidding got up to like $35 and I just didn't want it that bad. I'd rather take my time and wait and cherry pick till I get one cheap. I think the real trick will be for like $20, I should be able to get, like, it's just the body of the camera. Like, it doesn't have any of the batteries or any of the cords, but as long as I get the same brand, it'll work with my old batteries and cords. You know, like, display models from department stores. Untested, no guarantee that it works. That might not be so good for the average person, but since I've already got all the odds and ends, I'm gonna give it a shot. And, of course, just hope that it fucking works. So let's find a song to kick things off with.
She told me to stay or go away, and I looked in her eyes and left her. Some people try to tell me why I made up my mind and left her.
That song was not chosen by accident. That's called Hello Hammerheads by Caribou. And obviously, lyric-wise, it obviously relates to the fact that Ian and I are broken up. Whenever I say that, it reminds me of, like, Rastafarian dudes. Ian and I is broken up, man. But why I played that song is really early on when I first met Ian. Well, not when I first, when I first started sleeping with Ian, you know, so not too early on. I mean, when things had progressed. I don't know that I was necessarily her boyfriend at this point. To me, I don't know. That's one of those things that I can never get used to the idea of. If you're sleeping with somebody, that's your boyfriend or your girlfriend. I don't get that. And I'm really bad with casual sex. I am not, I don't know. Good for all of you if you can pull that shit off. Or like you're seeing a few people, but you have the one that you see more than the others, so that's kind of your de facto girlfriend or boyfriend. It's fucking nonsense. I don't even know what the fuck you people are talking about. I do not have the emotional maturity or capacity for those shenanigans. No doubt I'm stunted. I don't think I would necessarily grow into it, but I mean, I'm willing to accept stunted as an explanation. Anyway, I remember one morning, laying in her bed. I think she was getting ready for work, and just, you know, just loving life. Just, not that everything was just automatically easy when we first knew each other. There was a certain terror to it, because I knew I was getting into something that maybe, you know, maybe wasn't going to go well. Because in general, I don't think people really hide who they are. I don't know that most people really can, and I definitely don't think most people try. It's not that hard to figure out where somebody's really coming from. And it's certainly not hard with Ian. Ian is a very open person. There is no question. So I knew that our views on sex and our views on drugs were radically different. Kind of our views on rock and roll, but not that much, and I don't think that's really important. But I knew these other two were like, this could be a problem, but I was really, really drawn to her, and I have things about her that I really, really liked, and still really, really like. So, you know, it's like, dive in, man, don't be a pussy. See where this goes. So I was laying in her bed one morning, generally happy about things, you know? At that point, the excitement way overpowered the worry. And her iPod was on shuffle, just playing stuff. And I remember a song played that I really, really liked, and I had to go look at her MP3 player to see who it was, and it was this band Caribou, who's a Canadian guy who's behind that band, but I'd never heard of them before. And Ian told me it was, at the time, her favorite band was Caribou. And I could never quite recall what song it was that played. I went and looked through the albums, and I'm almost certain it was that one. And if it wasn't that exact song, it was really similar to that song. That was the tone of it. But yeah, I just remember really liking it. So, an appropriate song and a good memory, and just a band I wouldn't know otherwise.
Find the holy land. How can it be?
Drizzle hasn't let up any, so I'm standing under an awning. Where I'm walking right now, it's if you look at a transit map of New York City, look at Queens. You got, you know, like where the 7 train goes. I don't live near the 7 train, but I live like perpendicular to it. So if I leave my house and start walking north, that's where I am right now. You'll see this huge expanse on the map, and I don't even think that map's to scale. I think it's even bigger than that, because I've walked and walked and walked and walked this route, and it never ends. It just keeps on going. And I've listened to a lot of podcasts, even old ham radios and stuff, while walking this route, but I don't think I've ever done a ham radio while walking this route, so. I remember... Man, I've been here such a long time. A year and a month. I'm starting to have memories that seem like they happened, you know, far enough back that it's almost like it happened to someone else. I remember walking this route listening to Ham Radio 17, Goodbye Fredericton, that me and Brad did. It seemed like a long time ago. It made me really miss him. It was before he came to visit. I'm definitely ready to go home. I am so fucking ready. I would go tomorrow. But I don't want to mess up my roommates. Things are expensive in New York. They, you know, they know I'm leaving in April, but I don't want to leave before then. And plus, I'm going to get a ride home, and that sounds good. That's much better than a bus. And there's still things to do here. I do still have things to do. But, I mean, I always have projects to work on, but... the problem is I just don't work on them. It's so hard to stay motivated when no one's making you do things. Anyway, that song, that's called Lifeboat by Lovage. Also probably more fucking applicable than I realize. I mean, there's something about the way that me and Ian grasped onto each other. I mean, really, I don't know why we didn't break up months ago. Like, we had fights that people just shouldn't have, you know? Just many times that I've just assumed we were broken up, you know? It even makes me think, even after this time, even after this fucking procession of just horrible shit that's gone on, I don't know, I wonder. Is she finally done with me? Have I tried to get back with her? Could I? And for the last, you know, week or so, it hasn't been... I mean, I've been lonely, but it's not that hard to remember why we're wrong, you know, why we don't fit together, why this is going to keep happening. And it's never that tough to kind of shake it off, but today it's feeling very tough. And it felt like about an hour before I woke up. I just had this string of dreams that all involved Ayan in some way. And it just made it feel like I'd been dreaming about her all night. And I think that's what fucked me up today. You know? It just sucks that she's not here. Or that she is. I mean, I could call her, I could, but I shouldn't. Because I... You know, I don't trust myself at all. I just know I'm gonna get in a fight again. I'm not gonna be able to stay at an even keel. These differences between us, I can't ignore them anymore. I can't pretend they're not there. And it's just... But it's tough today. Today, I feel bad. But that band Lovage... It's a really good album. It's called Music to Make Love to Your Old Lady By. It's super, super fantastic good. It's the only album they put out. It was like a little collaboration by some people. And it has this really cool style, this really cool vibe of just sexuality, of just being sexy. And I remember I played it for Ayan and she hooked into it right away. She really got it. Because that's the kind of girl that she is. She's really... really fucking sexy and just really open about how sexy she is and not at all afraid to be sexy. I mean, even that though, I mean, it's on this, on the one hand, I'm praising that. On the other hand, sometimes it rubs me the wrong way, you know? So I'm not the fucking fella for her. Ah, nice little bar, still open. Everything else is closed. It's like midnight. I could go in there, but that's not where I fit. I don't belong in bars. There is a Dunkin' Donuts near here. If it's open, maybe I'll go get a decaf. Alright, let's find another sad sap song for me to play.
Pussycat grin on your face, eh? Oh, G.I. Joe. I'd like to take you on a date if that's the case. Oh, G.I. Joe. Been looking for you my whole life. Oh, G.I. Joe. Like to make you my wife. Hooda, hit it now. Mr. Bobby McFerrin on the background vocals, ladies and gentlemen. Ooh, explosion. All right.
I know I just played that last show, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles alternate theme, but I fucking love that. Man, that fucking cracks me up. It makes me feel better. And this time, along with it, was the G.I. Joe alternate theme. Not as good, but still pretty fucking nice.
Is JFK in Jamaica?
JFK's in Brooklyn.
Is JFK in Brooklyn, technically?
No, it's in Queens.
Why is everything in Queens?
Anyway, this song was kind of inspired by a bike ride through Brooklyn one late night. Alright, so this is called Brooklyn Blurs, and thank you guys again.
Thank you.
That was a live version of Brooklyn Blurs by The Paper Raincoat. I've also played that song before. I like it very much. It also makes me feel better. It's one nice thing about this raininess, it started to rain a little harder, is I could sing to that whole song and it doesn't matter because there's no one around, although I fucked up some of the words. It's kind of hard to find somewhere to stand, too. I did manage to find an awning by some business, but if I was doing this in Fredericton, for instance, this exact same situation, you know, I could just go sit on people's front porches, you know? It's not gonna matter. No one's gonna care. Around here, who knows, you know? You just don't step on anybody's fucking property on their toes in any way. I lived in a place in downtown Fredericton, very near downtown. We didn't lock the door for the whole year we lived there. The one day I did lock the doors, actually, it kind of fucked shit up. I ended up locking one of my roommates out because he didn't even have his key. Because why would he? Because we never locked the door. Anyway, the Dunkin' Donuts was surprisingly busy. Nowhere for me to sit and talk. So I think I'm just going to start making my way home. It's just too rainy out. Though I did just see a cool overpass that I'm going to go walk across, so that'll take me a little out of my way. You know, I'm very glad, and people tell me that they like this show, that it, you know, well, one guy told me. As a matter of fact, I believe it was the same guy who sent me Brooklyn Blurs originally, but that, you know, it's nice to hear about what's happening in my brain, because it makes him feel less lonely. It's a little, I don't know, it's a shame that that's the show that I do, that it's not Waka Waka Happy Fun Time. But, you know, it's probably never going to be. I mean, like, the way that I don't like New York, and I talk about how much I liked Vancouver, it's true. New York rubbed me the wrong way right from the start, right from just visiting here 2 years ago to open for Keith. Just the, well, it didn't, it was exciting, it was fun. But I noticed how dirty it was right away. I just didn't know how much that was going to put a fucking, throw a damp cloth on my brain. But, no, New York definitely, it got me right away and stayed as, you know, just a heavy fucking, it's like someone leaning too heavily on your shoulder all the time. But I do remember Vancouver, as much as I liked Vancouver and as much as my memories of Vancouver are good, I do remember this one point. It was a bunch of stuff that happened all together. I broke up with a girl who it was my choice to break up with her. Seemed like the only option at the time, you know, maybe it's the same as what's going on now, but I did really come to regret that choice. But on the other hand, we were literally one day away from signing a year-long lease, and we weren't going to last the year. There's no way. And then eventually I went home, back to my hometown, and that's when I babysat my niece Allie for 8 months, and that was invaluable. That was an extremely worthwhile experience. I'm really glad I did it. I'm really proud of how well I did it. I really think I learned a lot, so I don't regret that, because at least something good came out of it. But right at that point when I broke up with, her name was Erica, and I also quit. I was working as a skip tracer. It was a very stressful job. Skip tracer is like where you try to find debtors. You don't have to talk to them. You just had to find them. Very stressful, so I quit my job. And it was the darkest month on record since, like, the 60s in Vancouver. It was in October, I believe. Maybe November. What year was that? I don't know. Anyway, a few years ago now. Where there was no sun, no measurable level of sunshine. Like, things didn't cast shadows for, like, 20-some days of the month. And it all converged to really fuck hard with my head. And I remember I asked Erica to have a coffee with me or something. I don't know if she was seeing a new guy at that point yet. I don't know. She's apparently getting married also to this guy. So, I mean, things wouldn't have worked out between us. And apparently they did work out with the next guy. So, you know, in hindsight, everything unfolded as it should. I mean, if by some wacky, there's no way, but if somehow I was still with that girl, I mean, I wouldn't have moved here, you know? All kinds of things I wouldn't have done. But, yeah, I remember this one day in Vancouver, and it was rainy, and it was dark, and it was night, and I was just feeling terrible, and I remember just complaining, just aimless complaining, you know? Complaining about the city, complaining about some businessman that was walking in front of us, to finally she had to tell me, like, what the fuck is the matter with you, you know? Will you fucking stop it? Which is something Ian has said many times about me in New York, but New York can go fuck itself. This city is a piece of shit. The Vancouver thing, though, was weird. It really was. Obviously, I wasn't being myself. Because Vancouver was like a fucking amusement park to me. That place was very, very wonderful. The second time I moved there, it didn't work out the same way. I don't know. But that wasn't the city's fault. That was just my inability to build a social circle. Long story. Talk about some other time. Anyway. Yeah, actually, I remember that night ended with, man, where were we? We were, like, downtown on Pender or Hastings, around there, where it starts getting nice again, but not too far from the downtown east side. Yeah, I remember I eventually started crying. I started crying and just talking about how I needed a family, you know? I needed to feel like I was a part of something, and I wasn't feeling that at all in Vancouver at that point. I was feeling very alone. And it was obvious that I had to go home, but I didn't go home yet. I held off because I had this fear of going home. It's like, if I go home, what if I never leave? What if I go back to my hometown and never leave again? Which did not happen, and is not at all a fear of mine anymore. If anything, now the fear is the opposite. It's that, how will I ever stay anywhere? My only plan at this point is to go home and visit everyone and get tired of being home again and then go somewhere else. And it's starting, now that I'm 29, it's starting to not seem like this is a temporary thing. This is not sowing my oats. This is not seeing the world. This is not finding the place where I can settle down. I really have no belief at all anymore that I'm going to be able to settle down someplace. I just don't think that's what's going to happen. That's not how it's going to work. I'll just keep going from place to place to place, working whatever random fucking jobs, which might not be so bad. I mean, I don't know. It is a shitty economy. I never intended to have a house. It's probably not that hard to find even slightly upper scale work, video editing or audio stuff or something, that still is more or less freelancy. We'll see. Maybe I should really try to go all out, try to go to a different country. That could justify this a lot more, this aimlessness, this lack of a foundation. Anyway, I'm not sure if that little story had a point I was trying to get to, but I certainly forget it now, so let's listen to another song.
In my place where I am found, I'm still amazed that you're not around. I know that it's a blessing to be a man who can't pay attention to my time to make you believe me. Set in the sun for someone to leave me. I've got so much time to take it easy now.
so I'm hanging out under an overpass now. It's going to be a little bit loud. This is actually kind of fun in a way. This is like a reverse ham radio where it's like a little game. Instead of introducing a song and then playing it, I just walk around till I hear a song that I want to talk about. And then I got to find somewhere dry to do it. This is almost kind of weird too, just finding an underpass that's empty. New York does have a big population, but the homeless thing is not at all like Vancouver. Vancouver in the rain, I don't think you'd be able to find an underpass that was not taken up by a huddled fella. I'm sure I told this story before, but I remember going to work real early one morning and seeing some people, two people huddled up together. There were two guys near Commercial Drive, all bundled up in their blankets and shit, sleeping on the street, and they looked fucking comfy, you know? Like, fuck. I had to go to my shitty job. I think that was the porn store at the time. These motherfuckers are sleeping in. The other day, though, the aborted show that I did that I never put up. Walking down, through Queens, through Juville. And there was this Mexican guy just asleep on the sidewalk with no blanket at all. I assume he wasn't homeless. He must have just been fucked up. But there was no bars around there. There was nowhere that was open. And it was cold. It was like, it's gotten much warmer real fast. Today's pretty nice, but it was really cold. And I was like, man, what the fuck is going on that day with that guy? That reminded me of one of my... That's what I was trying to get to last time, that last segment. That I'll probably never have an extremely upbeat show, because I'm just not that guy. It's just not going to happen. I mean, I don't know. It's always a series of averages with everyone, obviously, but... I don't know, I've had a lot of melancholy times. It's not an unusual mindset for me to be in. I remember one of those days in Vancouver, just kind of feeling bad about stuff. I stopped in to the bank real late at night, the Scotia Bank at Broadway and Commercial. And there was a guy sleeping in there. You know, like the door, you need to swipe a card to get in. But he got in, however, and was sleeping in there. And I don't know, I was just feeling bad and mopey, and I left him, I think, $5. Maybe it was 10, but I think it was 5. Just left him some money, so when he woke up, he would see it. Although, come to think of it, somebody else probably took that. Well, anyway, random memory. So that song, that's Out of It by Brad Sucks, and that's the kind of song, I have a feeling I wouldn't have really cared for that song when I was younger. But man, I fucking love that song. Like, it really got... It didn't take very long for that one to stand out. And it's the title track of his last album. And, man, could that be more appropriate? You know, those lyrics just fit. I got so much time to take it easy now that I'm on my own. I'm trying so hard to get back to where I belong, to where I fit in. That is just a fucking good song. Bradsucks.net. Somebody did a video for that. It's on his website. And, they put the video through some kind of filter so it looks like old, like, Super 8 video. But it's all, you can tell it's filmed in New York, and it's got way too many anachronisms. Like, it's obvious that it's not old footage, but just that it even though it is just random footage of nothing in particular, the fact that it's old like that just gives it a nice feel. Spooky was showing me, he's got a bunch of Super 8 video from his, like, from the 60s, when his grandfather was... a young man, and apparently his grandfather looks just like his dad, and it's just, even though it wasn't my family and I don't even know those people, it's just interesting. It's cool to watch that shit and just, I don't know, I wish somebody had cameras when I was little. That would have been neat to have that shit. Alright, I'm gonna go back out in the rain. I'm gonna find another song to play. I think the songs are maybe inching toward happier. You notice that? I think maybe they are. I think I even like that it's raining. Now that the rain has picked up some and it's more like real rain. I love rain. I fucking love it. Only happy when it rains. I'm not gonna play that song.
Somebody, the weekend away. like money to people passing by that all seem to be going the other way. So won't you follow me down to the Rose Parade? Tripped over a dog in a choke chain. Shouting and pushing and saying, traded a smoke for a food stamp dollar. Ridiculous marching band started playing. Got me singing along with some half-hearted fit. Is obviously been drinking, 'cause he's fucking up even the simplest lines. I'd say it's a sight that's quite worth seeing. It's just that everyone's interest is stronger. That's left behind. Won't you follow me down to the Rose Parade? Won't you follow me down to the Rose Parade? Won't you follow me down to the Rose Parade?
I was going to play a happier song than that. I was skipping through, you know, these songs that I got lined up. A lot of them are very downbeat. And I was like, no, skip, 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 skip. But then I got to Rose Parade by Elliott Smith, and I couldn't resist. I had to listen to that song. That is one of his fucking, that is a downbeat masterpiece, man. That is just like, fuck this stupid parade, you know? Fuck these people that are happy. This is fucking stupid. I mean, it's about a guy going to see a parade, and he couldn't be more fucking unimpressed. I really dig that song. So I'm sitting under this huge awning by a high school. That still seems weird to me that everywhere in the world has, like, lots of different high schools. I only had one high school in my hometown, this massive, huge death pit. They finally built a second massive, huge death pit. But I just assume since this is public property, I can just hang out here. No one's gonna care unless they got, like, a security guy or something. I remember the one Christmas that I spent with Erica, which incidentally was, to date, the best Christmas I've ever had. That was a really good Christmas. It was me and Erica and her two brothers, and but I just remember the day, Christmas Day, we went and had a walk around our neighborhood in Vancouver. And we cut across the path of some technical college, and there was like a security guard guy telling us to not walk through. And I was like, man, that's weird. First off, what are we gonna do? I don't know, maybe the place is full of computers or something. But we're just boy and girl hand in hand walking across your snowy lawn, you know, fucking relax. And just weird that that guy had to do that on Christmas, you know, that's fucking shitty. But I remember I really liked her brother Simeon. Not as much her brother Tim. He was a handful. He was kind of bipolar. He was a good guy, though, here and there. But Simeon bothered me because he did tons of drugs. Like, fucking silly amounts of drugs. Little bit burned out by them. But, which is whatever, do what you want. But what pissed me off is that he did drugs with his sister, who I was dating, you know, who was younger than him, 5 years or something. You know, it's like, that's who you're supposed to protect. That's who you're supposed to look after. You're not supposed to do fucking cocaine with your little sister. That was very reprehensible to me. But generally, he was just a really likable guy. And it just, I don't know, it's weird that I just don't know any of these people anymore, you know? I mean, I guess you can't. You can't stay friends with your exes. You certainly can't stay friends with their brothers, you know? Well, I don't even live in the same town, you know? But it still seems weird. Even, maybe this sounds weird, but Erica's mom, I really hit it off with. Maybe because she herself was quite a fucking depressed person, but I really liked her, and it just seems weird that we don't talk anymore. You know, I mean, I've had that thought cross my mind, like, I should send her an email, but that's super fucking weird, you know, so I don't. See, now I got myself all melancholy again. God damn it. Let's play another Elliott Smith song. This is called 2:45 a.m. Certainly not a happy song by any stretch.
Escape what's hard with living.
So I just listened to a boatload of Elliott Smith songs, singing along to all of them, but I'm not going to play more on the show. But if you're not familiar with Elliott Smith out there in internet land, and you're even mildly fucking depressive, give that guy a try. I mean, he's got songs that don't stick with me, but the ones that do are so fucking retardedly good. Like, Jesus Christ, that guy writes some good songs. What I just played, though, it's a Canadian classic. That's a band called Moist that everybody in Canada, my age anyway, knows that band. Their lead singer, David Usher, still puts out stuff. I haven't caught up, though. But that was an unusual song for Moist. They're generally a rock band, but that song was called Disco Days. And I always liked that a lot. I think that album came out in 96, so that made me 17. So I've been holding on to that one for 12 years. They have a lot of good songs, but that song especially, Disco Days, I just always really liked. It's simple, but it's really good. I don't know, what do you think? You think I'm going to be able to pull this show back up by its fucking bootstraps into Happy Land, or am I going to keep playing sad songs? Man, I got to give Brad Sucks some 10 thumbs up, dude. Jesus, out of it, really. Kicked my ass into gear. Surely there's something else on this fucking MP3 player that can do the same.
Right.
Well, those are kind of cheery. There's two more songs by Moist. That was from their third and last album. It's called Mercedes Five and Dime. I was really into Moist for their first album, mostly just for the song Push, but it was a pretty good album overall. And the second album was huge. It was like a fucking Canadian super bomb. It was a teenage wonder. It was a much music fancy pants. I don't know. I got no fucking good descriptions, but it was big in Canada, and it was also really good. That third album I didn't get into until years after it came out. They really were kind of moving in a more kind of adult contemporary direction. It's a lot more laid back than their first two albums. But it has some really good stuff. I actually got it from this little pawn shop on Granville Street. I used to work at the Blends on Granville and Davie, and I remember I was working one day with Erica, the girl I was seeing at the time. I don't know if the owners knew that we were dating. We didn't usually work together, but I just usually also didn't work morning shifts, and she did. But for whatever reason, it was me and her running the whole place that day. And we didn't have any music to listen to. I don't know how that came about. It must have been, I don't know, anyway. Was that the day? Man, I think it was. That was the day, like, a bunch of insomnia hit me, and I just, like, barely slept at all. If I did, I think I stayed up all night. And met up with her in the morning. We went to the coffee shop. And I was just a fucking zombie, man. I was like, just could do nothing. And the mornings are usually busy. But she was like, hey, don't sweat it. You know, I think I can run this place on my own. Let's see. It'd be a challenge. And I did help out some, but she really saved my ass that day. I was a fucking mess. Anyway, we had no music to listen to, so that's one of my jobs that she was nice enough to give me. Sure, it wasn't that important to her, but it's to go down the street to the pawn shop and get some CDs. Anyway, one of the CDs was this. If not that day, then it was from that pawn shop anyway. I remember this album from that time, from listening to it at the coffee shop, because I got it cheap from a pawn shop. And it's pretty good. It's a pretty good CD. There's some cool shit on it. I think it's just weird, too, that my thoughts are turning to Erica so much. I really don't think about her much these days anymore. But she really is the only other significant relationship that I've had. I'm not a dating machine. I've really very, very few girls. I find a girl I like and I try to hold on and it doesn't fucking work. But I guess it's just got to be because I broke up with Ian, you know? The parallels are popping up in my head. That's where my mind is right now. Compare and contrast. Find out what happened. Find out what went wrong. Find out what can go better next time. Find out what mistakes I made. Very different girls, Erica and Ian. Little similarities. Both female, for instance. But mostly pretty different. All right, let's see what else is on here. Let's see if I can, getting close to home, but maybe I can string this out for one more song without falling into another pit of despair. Let's try, shall we? Now, surely that's got to bring a smile to the face of any 30-year-old computer nerds out there. That is the music from motherfucking Space Quest, AGI, Old School Sierra. Man, I fucking loved that shit when I was a kid. Space Quest, King's Quest. Do you remember how good King's Quest 3 was? Oh, man, it was so fucking good. Just trying to get the ingredients to make all the fucking magic potions and kill the old wizard guy, and then you go on this whole other adventure. Holy fuck, that was good. Christ, I should go try to find that game again. I was never as into things once they went to, what was it after AGI? SGI? Anyway, once they had like more than 16 colors, or maybe 16 colors, maybe it was 4 colors. The graphics got better and they sucked. Then Monkey Island was where the flag took up. But man, those old Sierra games, I love that shit. I had to look all over the place to find that song. Not as a MIDI and not all redone fancy. That's out of a fucking PC speaker. That is some horse shit and it's awesome. I remember our old computer, the first computer I ever got, it was like $2,000 or more. Whenever that was in the 80s, early, mid 80s, I guess. Yeah, it must have been like 86, 87. Green monochrome screen. Ah, so many good memories. Loved that shit. Loved those little adventure games. They were fucking excellent. I remember last time I was home was last December. I was home for a month before I moved here to New York, and I happened to get really sick for 3 or 4 days there. So I used to think, I'm really not a big drinker, you know, I'm surprised actually how well I can hold my liquor. I don't know, I mean, I get stupid, but not as stupid as I think I will. I can drink a lot and I never throw up, but I can really take or leave liquor. Like if I'm at Keith Malley's house, drink. People are turning down shots and I'm taking them because, I don't know, I feel like I should, I don't know, Keith needs a drinking buddy. Fuck it, man. Take one for the team. Take the bullet. But if I'm just left to my own devices, I can go forever without drinking. But if there's booze around the house, then I'll drink it. Like, you know, it's just how it is. But that was my old thing, was like, when you're sick, you should drink through it because you're going to be miserable anyway. At least you can sort of be drunk and that'll stumble your way through your couple of days of being sick. But honestly, I don't do that very often. It kind of works, though. Sure, it sounds stupid, but it kind of works. But my new thing is, I don't know, when you're sick, you can't just veg out and watch movies. It's too passive. You got to take your mind off things. So what I did is I went and got Space Quest Zero. It was a game some fans made, a prequel to Space Quest, and is done in the same style as those old games. And man, the fucking memories it brings back. It's fucking crazy, man. It's just like, just takes you back to the childhood. I got a big thing with that. I'm always listening to retro gaming podcasts and video game music, and man, video games. That is just like, it's like a tunnel, a direct tunnel through my brain, right back to being a kid and all those rose-colored memories. That's what I recommend you do if you're sick. Get yourself a video game. It's a good excuse, because I really don't play games that much anymore, because they just eat up my time for nothing, for no reason. But if you're sick, that's your excuse. That's your excuse to waste your time, and it's fucking really fun. I just got this game the other day. It's called Spelunky for PC. You can download it for free from the dude's website. And it's like, if anybody played NetHack or any of those roguelike games, they're called. I used to love those things. It's like a really complicated Dungeons and Dragons game where the graphics are real bad, almost non-existent, just symbols. And every key on the keyboard does 2 or 3 different things, and it makes a random dungeon every time, and there's just all kinds of variables. It's incredibly complicated. I never in a million years would ever be able to actually beat one. But I used to play NetHack all the time. So this game Spelunky, it's like a side view little, like, you jump on people, you have a little whip, a little side view scrolling action game like an old Nintendo game, but it makes a random level every time with shops with random items in them, and just everything is all random. and it keeps track of how many times you've played. I've played 438 times in the past 2 or 3 weeks, and I finally beat it yesterday. Now, a lot of that is because I don't try that hard in games anymore. I just like fucking around. That's why Grand Theft Auto and Tony Hawk and those games were so fun for me. Those are what kind of kept me into video games, just because you can just play them and fuck around. It's not about achieving stuff. It's not about getting anywhere. You just have fun. So a lot of Spelunky was that. That's how I managed to die 400 times. It's like, hey, let's just try to rob from this shopkeeper, even though it's halfway fucking impossible. You know, just dumb shit. But I finally fucking beat it. The normal way. There's another way where you get this one item and it find a secret door and you get an Ankh and a fucking scepter and go to the Lost City of Gold, and it's way too hard. Although now that I'm talking about it, I'm getting kind of into the idea. Maybe I'll go home and try once or twice, but it's really hard. I don't think I'd ever be able to pull that one off. The City of Gold run. Nerd! I remember there was this one puzzle in Space Quest 2. Space Quest 1 was my favorite, but 2 was still alright. Where you had to swim down to the bottom of this lake and get this glowing gem. And I kept running out of air. I thought I needed a new item or something. And I think Brad was the one who suggested. He's like, have you tried taking a deep breath? And I thought that was so ludicrous, because who wouldn't, you know, when you type dive, it's assumed that you're gonna take a deep breath before you dive. I thought it was such a ludicrous suggestion, I didn't even try it. It's like, well, that's ridiculous. Of course he's taking a deep breath. But he wasn't, because those old adventure games fucked your asshole. The early Leisure Suit Larry games, man, Larry 2 was so bad for that. Ridiculous how many ways you could fuck yourself and not be able to win the game. And how you had to type things just right for it to understand what you're talking about. Still, good times for back then. Wasn't the same once everything became pointy and clicky with little icons and shit. Except Monkey Island, which was fucking amazing. Monkey Island 1 and 2. Monkey Island 3 is pretty half-assed, and Monkey Island 4 can go fuck itself to hell. Anyway, random memories. That was... what's that band called? Republica. From Rush Hour with Love. You probably remember Republica for, From the Rooftop, Shadida. I'm ready to go. Fairly big hit on both sides of the pond. But they put out a second album called Speed Ballads that only got released in England and really didn't make much of a dent. But I was always curious about it, and I finally found it the other day. This magic of the internet is bringing all these things to me. Jim Martin's shitty album, Blood and Milk. Not very good. The guy, Faith No More, remember him with the curly hair and the big glasses, put out a solo album in 97. But I finally got to hear it. I have not been able to find The Gear, Mike Allred's band. I mean, I can find it, but not for free, and I don't want to spend money. He had this song called The Vinyl is Black, I was kind of like... That's pretty much the only thing I've failed to be able to find lately. The internet is spreading so much that... Pretty much whatever weird, obscure thing you want, it's out there. So, for anybody that was curious about what happened to Republica... I think they broke up after that, but it's a pretty neat little tune. And that reminds me of the comic store I used to work at. Because a lot of times I would just listen to the CDs that were there. And Derek, the guy that I think still manages it, he's older than me. He was really into New Wave, but he had some cool shit. He had a lot of, that's when I first heard Depeche Mode, I think. He had some REM. He had quite a lot of Cure. I listened to Disintegration a lot there. And he had Republica. Good times, nice memories. That was I stayed at that job for years because it's a comic store, man. Fuck. That was fun to me. So now I'm going to finish off with my friend Brad. He sent me a segment for Ham Radio 50. We're up to 55 or 6 now, but hey, at least it's getting played eventually. And this is definitely worth hanging around for because this first song he plays is just really pretty. And the second song, man, it fucking cracked my shit up. I died laughing when I heard this. So, check this out. Thank you, Brad, for the segment. I'll be doing more shows with him when I get home. Oh, and actually, you know what? I'd like to thank myself. Thank you, Ham Radio. Your therapeutic effects fucking worked. I feel way better now than I did when I left the house. So, congratulations. This podcast... really has no point to exist besides making me feel better, and it fucking did, so fuck yeah.
Hey Keith, when I heard that you were doing your 50th show, I thought to myself, well, that's among the least dubious of the dubious merits that I can think of. And so, of course, I wanted to, you know, do some songs for that show, but my voice wasn't up to it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a couple songs that I played during a date, actually. My MP3 player was on random. And this first song is called One of the Boys by Aaron Smith. And it's a totally beautiful, wonderful song. It really set the mood nicely.
Out on the porch swing, backlit by stars, we listen to the crickets sing and smoke cigars. Oh, she's so lovely. I saw it coming anyway. You see. pretty horses follow me down to the parking lot. And of all my many choices, why does it seem like you're all I've got?
Song, we're getting all comfy and snuggly, and then this next song, Sound of a Smile by Melonworks, which is a band that broke up several years ago, it comes on, and for the first 2 minutes of that, it's fine, it's kind of a little funky track, and then the vocals start, and yeah, really, really put a damper on the mood. Thank you.
job.
Blow job.
Blow job? Blow job? Blow job.
A really good blow job.
Blow job.
Blow jobs. Family lunch.
Blow job.
Blow job.
Blow job.
A blow job?
There you have it. I hope you've enjoyed this little tour of the do's and don'ts of date music. And once again, I'd like to congratulate you on your semi-centennial emission of I Have a Ham Radio.
Still amazed that you're not around. I know that it's a blessing to be a man who can't pay attention to my life. I've got no time to make you believe me. Set in the sun for someone to leave me. I've got so much time. Take it easy now that I am on my own. Oh, right in my head without a sound. Build me up just to put me down. I know that it's a question of being down for some kind of tension that I like. Got no time to make you believe me. Set in the sun for someone to leave me. I've got so much time to take it easy now that I am on my own. Oh, yeah, lately I've been out of it, but I'm trying so hard to get back where I fit in. Oh, lately I've been out of it, but I'm trying so hard to get back where I fit in. 'Cause I've got so much time to take it easy now that I'm on my own. My own. Hey.
Bum bum bum.
So much time to take it easy now.